To the Paradise Center for the Arts for an amazing April lineup. Spring and music will be in full swing on Saturday, April 28th, as Buddy Koopman's orchestra returns to the Paradise for a night of big band fun and swing music. For more information or for tickets, go to ParadiseCenterOfTheArts.org or call 507-332-7372 or visit the Paradise Center for the Arts box office in historic downtown Faribault.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination. With your host, Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thank you for joining me. I hope you're ready to wake up your imagination. Today, the focus is poetry, and I'm very excited to be able to bring this show to you. It's one I look forward to every year. And I started thinking about, what does poetry mean to me? And so this is my random thought, and we're going to roll with it, because sometimes you just go with your first impulse. And for me, poetry is like rock hunting. And when I thought of that, I thought of this strange image popped in my mind, and it was how to describe my love of poetry and poetry celebrations. So here we go, folks. Some of you, this reference may be too old to remember, but some of you will get excited, I think. This is a 1970s Saturday morning television show called Land of the Lost. And some people remember, it's a story about a family. They get thrown back in time, and they have to live with the dinosaurs on this awful papier-mâché set. But I was entranced by that show. And what stands out for me is they have this rock cave that they have to go to. I think they have to fight dinosaurs and strange cave creatures and all kinds of stuff to get there. But there's something about that rock cave that has all these colored gems on the wall. And there's, in the middle of the room, there's this platform with this glowing gem. And I can't remember exactly how the story goes, but it's something, a way for them to get back to their actual lives and not in this prehistoric life. And they had to time something to make it right. And everything always went wrong, and they never got to go back. But I might be mixing up some of those details, but I remember is the power of that glowing gem. And I think finding that, you know, the power that glows for you is like finding a beautiful agate in a field of sand and rocks. And that's why I think poetry is like rock hunting. There are a lot of rocks out there. And that's one thing I think I want people to know about poetry, is there's a lot of different kinds of poetry, styles of poetry, voices of poetry. And sometimes you have to pick up and turn over many of them before you find what you're looking for. But when you find the poem that rocks your world, that's an amazing feeling. And yes, I meant to say rocks your world. I just couldn't help myself. But it's like taking you back to yourself and understanding a little bit more about how the world works. And so I think that that's something everybody should do, especially in the month of April, which is National Poetry Month. So we're celebrating that here on Art Zany Radio. We're going to talk first about Northfield Sidewalk Poetry and the Poetry Contest. We're here with some of the winners, as well as a segment on Poem in Your Pocket. So I think we'll just go ahead and get started. The 2018 Sidewalk Poetry Contest is sponsored by the Arts and Culture Commission of Northfield. Full disclosure, I am a member of the Arts and Culture Commission, and it's in partnership with the Friends and Foundation of the Library. And this year's winners are Becky Bowling, who we'll hear from a little bit later, and also Avery Eastfold, who is here in the studio with me. Welcome to Art Zany Radio, Avery.
Hi.
It's so great to have you, and I'm so excited that I know one of the winners. How do you feel?
Good.
Oh, excellent. I'm so glad that you're here. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Avery.
My name is Avery Eastfold, and I'm a fifth grader at Prairie Creek.
And what are some of the things you love to do?
I really like to draw, and yeah.
That's one thing I knew about you. So it was so exciting to see that you had a winning poem in the Northfield Sidewalk Poetry Contest. And I'm glad that you're here today. Thank you. Also, one of the other winners is Stephen McCown. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Wow. And tell us, Steve, a little bit about you. You are, in fact, this is your third poem. Is that right? That's
yes.
been selected?
Yeah. 2 years ago, I got two or one, and
Right, because when people can enter right. more than one for each contest, and
right.
that year, two of yours were selected.
Right, and then you have to take a year off if you won. So this year it was one poem.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That must.
Much.
How does that feel to be a repeat winner?
Oh, great. Nothing's better.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And for the other winners, Julie Ryan is not able to join us, but we'll make sure that her poem gets on the air. And Marie Vogel-Gehry is traveling, so she's also unavailable today. But we'll make sure and read her poem, too, so you can experience all of the beautiful poems that have been selected as winners this year of the Sidewalk Poetry Contest. Those winning poems are on display at the Northfield Public Library in City Hall. You can visit them online at the Arts and Culture page of the City of Northfield website, and also the Friends and Foundation of the Library website has that. And those poems are going to be put into the sidewalk over the spring and summer as the weather permits. And mark the calendar for August 30th at 7 p.m. on Bridge Square, where there's going to be a Sidewalk Poetry Celebration, which is always a fun thing to bring that to summertime. It's a great time to read poems on the sidewalk. So, and then coming up, like I said, we'll have a little segment on Poem in Your Pocket. But I wonder if you could tell us, I'll ask Avery and Steve, about what is it like for finding a poem that you enjoy or that speaks to you or that you discover that really gets you excited about poetry? They're both looking at each other. Avery wants to go first.
I feel like it gives you something to, like...
Does it have a feeling inside of you that you, when you discover it, you read it, it makes you feel something, there's a spark?
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that too, that's exactly what it is, that there's something pretty incredible. How about for you, Steve, when you're reading or discovering poems, what is it that you feel?
I think the same thing. It strikes a chord in you, a poem, and not everyone does that, but many of them. And if you read it enough, sooner or later, it just strikes this chord in you, and it's an experience. It ties in with your experience, and I think poets are really good at that, creating universalizing experience so that a lot of people can dip into this. It's a big pool, you know, that you draw from, and it just speaks to you in a kind of mysterious way too, because of that. You
know. And that's something I think I want people to know is that not every poem's going to work for every person every time, because your life changes and things are, you know, in tune more with you, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the fun of poetry is that you know, get to read a whole lot of variety of poems, and soon you'll discover a voice that really speaks to you or a style that you really enjoy. That then you should just go for it. It's not as mysterious as people, I think, sometimes. I want people to be afraid of poems.
No, it's not. Yeah, and sometimes you discover a voice that's more your voice, and you kind of wish, gee, I wish I would have read.
Right.
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't.
I couldn't, you know, get the words
I
that way.
You know, so.
That's exactly right. And how did it feel, Avery, to have your poem selected for Sidewalk Poetry? Tell me about the time you found out that your poem was one of the winners.
Well, we were at the Dundas Dome, and my mom was... like really excited, and she said, your poem. She was mouthing those words, but I
were you playing a sport?
Not really. Oh. We were just playing there, and she kept mouthing those words, and I had no idea what she was talking about. And once she got off the phone, she was like super jealous of how I won. And she was saying how she had put in two poems and none of them had won.
Oh, so you guys both submitted poetry for this year.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And yeah, there were only five poems selected this year, so a smaller selection, and that, you know, meant it was a little harder for the judges as well, because I'm certain there were many, many great poems submitted for Sidewalk Poetry. And tell us about the winning poem. Do you want to start, Steve, and tell us a little bit about your poem that was selected this year? About what do you remember about writing it and creating it?
Well, there were a lot of fireflies out in the neighborhood. I live over on 6th Street there, and they're just all over the place. So And then when I went to bed, I was seeing fireflies in the dark, and I thought for a while, I thought the fireflies got into the house. How did they get in the house? You know, I really thought they were, you know, and I thought I've got to let them out, you know. And of course, they weren't in the house. So it was just the after image of seeing all these fireflies and then seeing them again when it was dark in the house. So that's how I got the idea for the poem to, you know, that you let them in, you know, it's kind of invitation.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, actually, it seems like everything I write comes from some experience of some fact or something that just you recreate or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how to just make it up, you know. It's just...
It's a response almost something you witness or
feel. Yeah, experience, yes, always, in my case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, so I think I would love to have you read your poem now, if you'd be willing to do that for us. We're going to have Steve McGowan read his winning entry for the 2018 Sidewalk Poetry Competition. And whenever you're ready, I'll let you take over.
Not in jars, nor in cupped hands, or in pinned displays, but in my house fireflies abide. Let them in when other sources of light fail.
I think that, as with most poems, the end line is incredibly important, and I think that I love that there's many different echoes that you can turn and twist that to what does the line, when other sources of light fail.
Yeah.
And it's a very hopeful poem.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And that, how long did that last line take for you to work through?
Usually I labor over lines forever, it seems like. But this one came kind of fast for, you know, it just seemed to write itself. It just seemed to fit, you know, so I just went with it, you know.
Yeah.
And which is unusual in my case because I usually have to go over it and over it, but it just happened. Well, almost like a haiku, you know, just a quick insight or something, you know.
Right, and that's a great transition over to Avery's winning poem, because Avery, your poem for the 2018 Sidewalk Poetry Competition is in fact a haiku.
Yeah.
Tell me about how does a fifth grader, or actually I know that this was written when you were a couple years younger. How did you know about haiku?
Well, when I was in second grade, we were writing a Mother's Day poem, and I, at the time, had no idea what haikus actually were, but after I brought my poem home and showed it to my mom, she said that this was a haiku.
So you got to learn about that form, and that's what I'm talking about, too, that maybe that's a form that really feels right for you and your voice, is to have that measured. It's a poem that has, is it 575? Somebody help me out.
Yeah, 575.
Thank you, Avery, of a number of syllables. And so I'd love for you to read the winning poem that you had, and this was something that you wrote for Mother's Day, which I think makes it extra sweet to be able to hear that. So I'm going to, whenever you're ready, I'll go ahead and get you, turn the mics down for everybody else, and you can read your poem for us.
Kiss, kiss, my mom goes as I step out of the car. I know she loves me.
That's gorgeous. That's absolutely incredible. And when was it, how did you frame, because I think what's particularly catching about it is kiss, kiss, the double. And how did you know that was the opening that you wanted for that particular poem?
Well, whenever I walked out of the car, when she dropped me off at school, she'd always ask for two kisses.
So I thought
that'd be the perfect poem for Mother's Day.
You have a pretty amazing mom. I happen to know your mom, and I think she's pretty incredible, too. And your dad as well. Let's not forget your dad's out here supporting you, too. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure and give a heads up to how wonderful they are. Great people in our community. And I know that, Avery, you brought a couple extra poems, too, to read.
Yeah.
Because you've been continuing to work on poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that even at your school this year, because you go to the same school as my kids, that you had a poet in residence. Mm-hmm. How was that experience?
Yeah, that was fun.
It was Rachel Moritz, right?
Yeah. And Rob Hardy.
And Rob Hardy, who is our poet laureate, who will be on in the next segment. So tell me about what you continue to work with poetry, and what were some of the things that you you learned this year about poetry?
Well, I learned that a poem doesn't have to be, like, it doesn't have to be more than what it has to be. You don't have to write so much just to make it a poem.
So it doesn't have to be fancied up. It can be just what it real and what it is and how it comes to you and what it means in your about you.
Yeah.
That's an extraordinary thing to learn. Imagine, Steve, if he's now in fifth grade and he keeps writing poetry, he's got a head start on all of us.
Yeah, we're looking at the future poet laureate right here.
Perhaps, that could be. So, Avery, tell us about the poems that you brought two to share. Is that what I heard? Yeah, I'd love to hear them. If you want to introduce the poem a little bit, tell us about it, and then share it with our listeners.
Well, I always have a booklet next to me. Next to my bed, and whenever I think of something like a cartoon or some kind of drawing or anything I want to write down, I'll write it down. And I've written down a lot of poems, but these two have really stood out to me, the ones that I've written. And my first one is called Temperature. We have freezers to keep our food cold. We have love to keep ourselves warm.
Oh, Avery, that's fantastic. Oh, my goodness. That is a beautiful poem and an incredible thought. Wow. Kind of profound if you wrap your head around that. You want to read that one more time for our listeners?
We have freezers to keep our food cold. We have love to keep ourselves warm.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Pretty great. And the other poem that you brought for us?
Life. Life. Life is a long journey of the joyful times and the pitiful times. It's like a path that never ends. But what happens when our life does end? Do we have a huge party or we just sit around the table and talk? These are questions we'd like to know, but we can't.
You're like a philosopher. That's pretty great. And so I am excited for you to keep writing poetry and to, keep submitting your poems and to, keep exploring where your mind and your imagination take you. It must feel great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of you. That's super exciting. Thank you for also being open enough to share some new work with our listeners. And Steve, we also have from you the poems that you won 2 years ago. I don't know if you'd be interested in reminding our listeners about what you wrote from last time. I don't know if you have copies or I have a copy here. So I'll give you a second to take a look at those. And again, this is the 2018 Sidewalk Poetry, but those were from 2016. And this is the eighth year, just for listeners who are wondering about Northfield Sidewalk Poetry. It's the eighth year of Sidewalk Poetry Project. And it was started in response to what the St. Paul Marcus Young was doing up there, where it's still an active project, and they inspired us to begin our own project created by Philip Spensley and Leslie Schultz, who were on the Arts and Culture Commission, the first rendition of that. It's a poem that's been supported by Streetscape Tax Force funding, as well as a CMAC grant and donations from the Friends and Foundation of the Library. This year, it was funded by local funding and Friends of the Foundation Library, so we want to give a big thanks to everybody who did that. We've had an amazing number of poets recognized in this, and Steve is one who is a multiple winner, and so that's pretty exciting. I'd love for you to read some of that. I didn't know if you brought other poems too to read.
I didn't. Okay, I just brought this one here.
Sure.
Do you want me to read these two?
Yeah, that'd be great to, because I think people can get to know your voice then a little bit.
The first one, it's called Class Rings. Tight. Idled silver on our fingers, we yanked our class rings free, spun them on desktops, cafeteria tables, and the rings danced over cracks and carvings, pirouetted on stains, encircled each other ecstatically, small dervishes near the edges.
I think I remember, you know what, as soon as somebody said the word class rings, I remembered your poem, and that's pretty profound.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't know that they discontinued class rings. I was kind of shocked to hear that. I just thought that was a tradition that went on, so I figured everybody would know what a class ring, but a lot of the younger, they didn't know what it was.
Right, and
what class ring was.
I still got mine somewhere.
Yeah, I do too.
And let's hear your other poem.
Okay. No wind, no waves, no people, not a sail aflutter, a bow rising. The rock-bound blue water frozen, even the reflections anchored. The seagulls mute, mesmerized. The harbor a perfect still life into which I, new to the shore, cast stones.
Remind me again of the place that inspired that.
It's actually Grand Marais.
Oh, you know, the stones, when you think of that, that's kind of an iconic Minnesota place. And all of those, just a field of beautiful washed stones.
Yes, yes. I was shopping with my wife and my son, and I just walked down there because I'd had enough of shopping there, and the harbor was just frozen. There's nothing moving, so that kind of still life kind of image kind of inspired me to write that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I wonder if I could ask each of you to tell me a little bit, what does it mean to live in a town that celebrates poetry in so many great ways? And I know, Steve, you have a great story about how you came to Northfield because you're a fairly new resident.
Right. We've lived here now 3 years, and I knew about Northfield because my sister went to St. Olaf, and I grew up in Winona and would come up and visit her. And, well, I taught for 30 years in a small rural school in California, and every summer we'd come up to Minnesota and visit our relatives, and we knew eventually after we retired that we would move back up here. So we were looking at small towns close to the cities because my son and grandchildren live there, and Barb's sisters live in Shakopee and Rosemont. So, and then we looked at this town, and we saw the sidewalk poetry and walked around town looking at it, reading it, of course, and just fell in love with the town. And so it was due in part to the poetry and sidewalk. We thought this is a great town that really honors culture and art, and the buildings and everything was so neat. So we moved here, and boy, we haven't regretted it a bit. It's a great, great town.
Well,
great people, too.
I would agree, and we're lucky to have you. Now we have three of your poems imprinted in the side, or one coming up.
I really feel part of the town now. I really do. That's, literally part of the foundation.
You are. How about for you, Avery, as a young person, what does it feel like to live in this town that enjoys poetry and celebrates poetry in so many different ways?
I feel
it's kind of hard to put into words. I can tell your mind is working really hard over there, I guess maybe it's something too that if it's always been that way and always a part of the world that you live in, maybe it'll be 10 or 15 years down the road and you'll think, well, that was really pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a lot of other towns.
No.
It's highly unusual to have such a small town have such great celebration of poetry.
It's just great, and the people who put this on, boy, you can't thank them enough, and that's Bonnie Flom and Rob Hardy, and you, of course, and,
the entire Arts and Culture Commission and everybody at the library.
It's just part of a great
in the city.
Artistic culture here. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's everybody comes together.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here, Avery Eastfold and Steve McCown, for being a part of today's show. But this is just the beginning. I'm going to go ahead and play an interview that I did a couple days earlier with Becky Bowling, who is a professor of Spanish up at Carleton, but also a great poet and writer. And she's going to tell us a little bit about her poem and her winning poem and her great poetry family. So let's go ahead and listen to that. We'll be right back after that to talk about Poem in Your Pocket on Art Zany Radio. Well, welcome to Art Zany Radio. I'm so thrilled we had this opportunity so you could come and share your poetry with us. I want to start by asking about sidewalk poetry and what it means to you, and what do you love about sidewalk poetry in Northfield?
Well, for one, I love the opportunity of submitting poems, and I love winning. So I've come to this a little bit late, but I also love the fact that it's a community and that it's about Northfield, and it also brings people out, literally, to the sidewalks. I like going for walks in the neighborhood, and it's always amazing when I come upon a poem. And it's not good for my aerobics because I have to stop and read it, of course.
Yes.
It's fine. I really think it's a beautiful tradition, and I hope that it continues for a long time.
Yes, and for folks that are very astute, they will recognize that you are a second win. This is your second poem that has won. That must feel pretty great to have an additional poem selected for the Sidewalk Poetry Competition.
Yes, it is. I was really pleased when I got the phone call.
Yeah, and this is also something people may not know, though, and that is that your husband is also a multiple-time winner, and I think that you're like the poetry powerhouse couple in the game, right? So how does that work for both of you? Are you competitive? Are you sharing your working together? Or do you each do your own thing?
We basically do our own thing, but and we write very differently and different kinds of poems, but I think that we also have kind of rubbed off on each other. I mostly write narrative. I enjoy writing longer tracks. But I have started to write poetry probably because Doug, my husband, who writes under the name D.E. Green.
Thank you for saying that. I meant to say that in the intro and I forgot. Yes.
And he's been writing poetry for a long time and he's been very successful. He's done poetry readings and he's just amazing. So I'm sure that he has taught me in many ways. And of course, whenever I write a poem, I make him look at it and he has to go through and help me with the punctuation.
Yeah, that would be a little nerve-wracking, I think.
Oh, no, we're very good with each other. I read some of his material or he reads it to me and we comment on each other's work. And I think it's very helpful.
Did you come to poetry then later? It sounds like maybe he was the first to be writing poetry, and then you started writing poetry.
Basically, Doug has always written poetry, and I was writing more prose, and circumstances were that, I suppose because he inspired me with some of his poetry, and I thought, well, I'd like to write something like that. But not that.
And that's important.
Yes.
And you need to be your own voice.
Right. You can't start imitating each other. So I started writing poetry much later than the prose. I used to write poetry a long time ago, but who didn't, right? So it's not my major mode of expression, but more and more lately I've been doing it.
Well, we are blessed and lucky to be able to have you here because your 2018 Sidewalk Poetry winner is really a delightful poem. I think I was hooked from the very first line, and I would imagine that was a line that really, you know, maybe that's the first thing that came out for you?
Yes. Actually, when I write, even when I write prose, sometimes it's a first line that starts something, and I feel like that has to be... That is something. It's a story or it's a poem. And so first lines for me are very important. And this one came to me.
I think we should have you read it so that our listeners can hear in your voice the winning entry from this year's Sidewalk Poetry Competition. This is Becky Bowling reading her winning poem.
Thank you. I like the wild ones, those that don't ask permission, that come, invited or not, that flaunt their buds and rise from untilled soil.
Thank you very much. I was definitely hooked for the line that, like I said, that opening line, the wild ones, because there's so many different ways you can look at that. And then to bring us into the, it doesn't even have to be the garden. I'm imagining it could be in a sidewalk crack or, you know, just a random, I don't want to call them weeds though, because they're the wild ones, they're, right?
Exactly. I avoided that word because I'm a very bad gardener. But
me too.
I love to go out in the neighborhood on walks and take photos of other people's gardens and basically appropriate them as my own. So Doug and I often joke that we have a lovely garden. We go out because everybody else has lovely gardens. But I also, when I go back to the house, one thing that I appreciate are the weeds that grow up, especially in the spring, the flowery weeds, and even in some well-tended gardens, you can find some of these miscreants.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as though they get a bum rap. And I don't think that there's anything quite as amazing as a field of dandelions.
I kind of agree that they get a name as a weed for a reason that maybe it doesn't have to be. They're all competing. They're all out there trying to show their best mm-hmm. to us. And, you know, just because somebody decided that that's what they were, and mm-hmm. we can cultivate what we want. We can, you know, make anything. And sometimes, and then it makes me feel better about gardening.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, I sometimes truthfully, I can't tell which is the one I intended to plant or the one that is a random weed.
Yeah. Anything that looks somewhat decent, I let it live.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that hardiness, the survival capacity of wild ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that you liked the first verse so much, because I think of it as the poet's voice, but I also think of it as the sidewalk. And the sidewalk, in some ways, is so different and so steady and firm and solid and made, fabricated, and it's traversing nature. But I think that there is a kind of camaraderie between the sidewalks and the things that just pop up. And as you mentioned, the weeds that come into the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of think that if I were a piece of sidewalk cement, I might like and admire the wild ones too.
And I think I'm going to start calling the wild ones, instead using that phrase, instead of, you know, the weeds, because weeds just has this connotation mm-hmm. that isn't quite right, mm-hmm. at least in the way that we've developed it in our culture. And so I thank you for this gift of this poem. This is one of the ones from 2018, one of the winners that will be stamped into the sidewalks coming over the course of the summer. And I expect that you're going to continue to write. How do you select the one that you want to submit? Because I know that you write a lot of different poems. So how do you know what's right for sidewalk poetry?
Well, one of the major criteria is the amount.
True, they have very strict limitations on line length and mm-hmm. words and how many different lines you can have.
Right, and actually the first one that won was taken out of a longer poem. I knew that I liked the images in that poem, and I thought, I think this, if I take this out and maybe pare it down and so on, work on it, it could be a sidewalk poem. And then another thing is I try to think of something that relates to the public setting, the sidewalk and community and nature. So those are kind of the criteria that I use. Most of my poems are longer than sidewalk poems, but how to choose them, it is a lot of it is because of the limits put on it. And then what I think might work as something of interest if someone were to stop and look down. The other thing is that you can submit more than one. So I always feel bad for the one that didn't get selected. So, but I'll keep it and put it in the year after next. Maybe.
Right. Because next year, then you won't be eligible. I think if you're a winner one year, right. Then the next year. But you can always revise and edit. Or maybe it was just that you never know what's happening with what gets selected, because there's so many entries to choose from that. Mm-hmm. And the judges are different each year, too.
Right.
But I think it's a really incredible expression of who our community is, and to have that opportunity for everyone. I love that almost every year we have winners who are young and or new at poetry, or you know, seasoned professionals, or people who are just trying it for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible program, and we're delighted that you're sharing your work with us for Sidewalk Poetry.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate that you gave me the chance to do this, because I missed doing this the first time around, and probably if I ever win again, I'll miss it again. So
we'll make sure we have time for you. We'll make time for you to come down and be able to do that. I think that's something I want in the future, because hearing it in the poet's voice, now when you walk the sidewalks, you can hear Becky's voice as she says that beautiful poem. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I want to thank Becky Bowling for coming down and making time for us to be able to hear her words and share the story of her winning poem in the 2018 Sidewalk Poetry Contest. Now joining me in the studio are two extraordinary folks, two of my favorite people in town, and two of the greatest promoters of poetry. Bonnie Jean Flom is here, and welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you, Paula. I'm pleased to be here.
And you are a fellow Arts and Culture Commission member, and just this week won the first ever board recognition. I don't remember the full title of the award.
I was very honored, very pleased, board and commission member of excellence.
Well, we can all echo that is as absolutely true. And
well,
so
thank you.
Congratulations. You are a tireless promoter and volunteer for our community. You're also a professional educator and supporter of education, a singer in Bonnie and the Clydes. Everybody
yes, I am.
May not know
yes.
that. So welcome again to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you.
And also here is Rob Hardy. Thank you for being here again.
Thanks, Paula. It's fun to be here.
He's the poet laureate of the city of Northfield, and doing an amazing work for our community in both bringing poets to our community, celebrating poetry, and connecting people with different ways to engage with poetry. It's just phenomenal. I'm so pleased and so excited that you're part of our community.
It's interesting because for a long time I was kind of on an academic calendar, and now I'm kind of on a poetry calendar. I mean, there seem to be like poetry seasons, that there's the sidewalk poetry kickoff, and then there's the putting them into the sidewalks, and then there's the capstone event, and it's just really fun to have that kind of a rhythm to the year, a poetic rhythm, instead of like the standard academic one that so many people in this town have.
Right, exactly, because you've taught in the classics department at Carleton. You're a school board member, you're a playwright, translator, literary arts supporter, writer, everything. And we're especially pleased that you're here to help us celebrate more of sidewalk poetry, because there were two of our winners that were unable to join us, and we want to make sure everybody has time to have their works recognized with this year's winners. And so each of you have selected the two poems that we don't have a lot of background. Do either of you have additional background on these pieces?
Well, I know that I'm going to read one by Julie Ryan, who has submitted and read at Writer's Nights in the past. So last year we had a Writer's Night in January and then again in April, and I think she read at both of them. And that's a good time to plug that we're having another one on June 1st as part of the First Friday Art Nights that the NDDC and the City of Northfield are doing. And the submission deadline for that is a week from today. So if people want to submit a piece, either up to 3 poems or up to 750 words on the theme of community, however you want to interpret that, you can send them to me at thepoet.laureate@ci.northfield.mn.us, and they'll be considered for that reading.
That's it.
Julie
yeah.
has, so it was like her entrance into the poetry community, and then now she's a sidewalk poet, so.
We're very excited to celebrate her, and I'll just let you enjoy read the words to our listeners so they get to hear the winning poem from Julie Ryan, right?
Yep. Okay. Omission of sun. Winter's white space silently articulates what is known about other seasons.
I think that one is one of those that makes you appreciate winter in a new way, gives you some enlightenment.
Yep.
And that I particularly enjoy, especially omission, the word omission, mm-hmm. is a beautiful piece of that. So thank you, Julie, for gifting that poem to this competition and for congratulations on a win. We also have one other poem that from Marie Gary that was selected as a winner, and Bonnie Jean is going to share that with us.
Right, and I also wanted to share that when I first moved to town, Marie was the media center director at Longfellow School, which at the time was a K-6 school. That's how long I've been around. and so it just knowing how she inspired students in terms of a love of literature and specifically poetry, it's just great that she's one of our winners this year. So, okay, so here's Marie's poem. One plumped up robin, too soon for spring, puzzles snow, settles for raisins.
And I can't wait to ask Marie about that raisin.
I know.
But you had a theory. I'd love for you to share
right.
it.
Right. Well, when we had that the late blizzard this year, I know that there was great concern for the birds, especially the robins and other birds that feed
come early.
On the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were encouraged through some notices I saw to put out frozen blueberries and cut up raisins for the robins and other such birds.
And she would have submitted this in January or
right.
February, right?
So it was almost like this was a prediction.
That's
so,
right. Well, yeah. Thank you, Marie, for that great
yes.
gift. She's got a great sense of humor. I love talking yeah. with her, and she's such an yeah. active arts advocate. So we're missing you today, and thank you for sharing your poem with us, and congrats on the win. So Sidewalk Poetry this year was another great success. As you said, it's the season of poetry because April is National Poetry Month. There are a few things and a few thank yous that Bonnie Jean wanted to make sure to get out there for everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Paula. Our judging panel this year was comprised of these five individuals. Diane LeBlanc, who is the director of the Writing Center at St. Olaf and teaches there. Our poet laureate, Rob Hardy, Emily Lloyd, who is the new, I know there's a different title, but anyway, basically children's librarian at our local library, and then Leslie Schultz, who's not only a Sidewalk Poetry winner, but a published poet, well-recognized for her work, and then Scott Jensen, who's a community member who has an MFA in writing and just was a fabulous member of our panel. I don't judge, but I kind of gather the group together. And a special shout out to Diane LeBlanc, who has served on the panel every year. So bringing that kind of consistency to the process is greatly appreciated. And this year we had, I'm trying to look at my notes here, but I think like 63 poems that were submitted,
mm-hmm.
And then selected five. And so all told, there have been 71 poems selected over these 8 years and 49 winning poets. So you can see that there are poets that have won with more than one poem because
mm-hmm.
those numbers. In fact, Rob Hardy, our poet laureate, along with Leslie Schultz and Doug Green, have won they each have four winning poems in the concrete of Northfield. And then today, as you mentioned with Steve McCowan, he now has three. And then we do have 10 poets, who have two winning poems to their credit. So it's part of the reason why once you win in a given year, we ask that you do not enter the contest the following year. We're trying to spread the recognition around. So,
well, it's an yeah. incredible program, and it's just part of the way that Northfield celebrates poetry. I want to make sure we have time for Poem in Your Pocket, which is happening right now. We're all very excited. I don't know. I woke my kids up, and I said, hey, happy Poem in Your Pocket Day. And they were like, yeah, I like it. What is Poem in Your Pocket, Rob?
Well, so it was started by, I think, the Academy of American Poets. And it started in New York where there were poems made available to the public in local businesses and libraries and organizations just to take one and have it with you during Poet in Your Pocket Day to read to people, to share. You could bring your own poem and add it to the boxes. So it's a way of sort of circulating free poetry through the community on Poem in Your Pocket Day.
And so for Northfield, there are 16 businesses, which I'm excited is an increase from
yes.
prior years,
yeah.
where you'll see the red box and maybe the sign on the door that says free poems today. Mm-hmm. And you can, I'm curious because my strategy is usually just a random poll just to see what the universe wants to teach me. But you can sift through them, yes?
Yeah, definitely.
What are your strategies for finding your poem that you're going to put in your pocket?
I do both.
Okay.
It happened that yesterday I was at the library, and the very top one in the library box was one of my favorites about the songs of our grandmothers. And it's a Brenda Helen poem where we are obliged to sing, and that one just really resonates with me. But then also in another location, I was digging in the box and trying to find one that was unfamiliar to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because people know I'm involved with this project. Yesterday I had several people, I was downtown, who were digging in their pockets and bringing out their poem and saying, look, I've got one. I've got a poem.
For you, because that's a cool thing. That's awesome. And it goes through the weekend. So if you missed the actual day, those boxes will be out over the weekend, and you can stop at, where can they get a list of the locations?
It's on the Facebook page, either the Poet Laureate or the Arts and Culture Commission. You can find them there.
Right. A lot of downtown, but a couple of outlying places as well.
The same as last year with the addition of Imminent and Tanzenwald Brewing and The Contented Cow. So.
And there's something about beer and poetry that just, you know, it's a good combination. So I'm really glad those are new partners for the program. Maybe there'll be spontaneous poetry readings. Who knows? And this is just the beginning of the celebration of poetry in Northfield, even though it's Northfield's or the National Poetry Month. There's a lot happening. You had a couple events you want to make sure and give out to our listeners.
Yeah, so we have, after today, 3 more days of National Poetry Month and events on each of those days. So tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Northfield Public Library, there's a children's poetry reading, which means that it'll be poems for children, but also poems by children. So there will be students from Prairie Creek Community School. I don't think Avery's one of them, but other children who wrote poems in with the poet.
But he could sure
residence.
Join
yep.
if he wanted to. Anyone is welcome.
And I'll be reading some poems, and we'll have special guests, Superintendent of Schools Matt Hillman and Mayor Rhonda Pownell will be reading some poems. So
fantastic. And another great
kids.
Way this town supports poetry.
And then a very different event on Sunday, Harmony Neal, who's a Minnesota State Arts Board individual artist grant recipient this year, is doing a public reading that's called Writers Resist, Voices from the Margins of the Women's March. And it's focusing on poetic and voices of writers who are marginalized in society, so writers of color and Indigenous writers, trans writers, etc. So that will be good to hear some different voices than the sort of, I guess, mainstream voices that we often hear. And then on Monday, the last poetry reading of the month, Jennifer Kwan Dobbs, she's a professor at St. Olaf and a poet who has several books, and she has a new book called Interrogation Room. I think it's a really timely event because this morning I got up and saw the leaders of North and South Korea shaking hands in the demilitarized zone. And she's she was adopted from Korea as a child, and a lot of her poems deal with the situation of being an orphan and an adoptee, and also thinking about the situations in Korea. So I think it's, and she's a fabulous poet, so I think that'll be a great reading.
And if people want information, they can go to either the Poet Laureate Facebook page for the City of Northfield,
or you can go to the Northfield Public Library website, and at the top on the menu bar there's About, and if you pull down About, you'll see Poet Laureate down there, and just click on that. And then in May we have 3 big poetry readings, the first one on Monday, May 7th at 8 o'clock in the library. So after the library's closed, actually, it'll be reopened for Dennis Smith, who is a National Book Award finalist, fabulous poet.
That's a big
deal, I think.
Yes, and we'll have people check out the Facebook page if they want to see what else is coming. And I'll mention them as we go through the month. And Bonnie Jean, any last bits about poetry and celebrations?
Yes, I do. I want to make sure to thank the City Engineering Department. David Bennett is the head of that department, but Sean Simonson is the go-to person for sidewalks in town. And so he's notified me just this week that there'll be 26 poems, new ones, going in, 16 on Division and 7th Street Project and 10 along the Washington Street Project. And so just special thanks to them. And also, just want to remind everyone that on the city website, you can find a map of the poems. You can click on a poem on the map, and you can hear the poem being read. Sometimes by the poet, him or herself. Other times, we had the privilege of working with a Carleton senior last summer, Mary Kate Hall, and she updated the audio portion of that map opportunity. And then we also have some new printed maps that you can find at the library and also the Convention and Visitors Bureau, along with other locations in town.
Fantastic, folks. We're running out of time today, so I'm going to be very quick and just tell you, if you aren't doing art, you're not looking, because it's everywhere in our community. And I hope that you will celebrate with the King's New Clothes at the Arts Guild. That's this weekend. The upcoming concert by the Choir Country, by the Rochester Choral Arts Ensemble, is coming up in the following weekend. And the Northfield Experience, I got word this morning that tickets are selling very fast. So if you want your tickets for May 4th through the 6th, click on the northfieldexperience.com and get those. Folks, this is Art Zaney. I thank you so much. I hope you'll find some time to enjoy your imagination.
History in the Koreas, suspect on the loose. I'm John Trout. And historic